Just looking around the room, I see a lot of people who have had probably many years' experience seeking the Lord, following his ways, living the righteous life that Christ calls us to. And I'm sure you're all doing very, very well at that. Now, today, I just want to just speak the scriptures because Jesus was even talking to the religious elite of his day and calling out some stuff that maybe that they weren't doing correctly or, you know, his way, God's ways, Jesus' ways. So we're going to focus on Jesus' authority and submitting in obedience to God. They're the big themes that run through both of those readings that we just heard, and they're so exciting. I'm going to try and incorporate them both without going too long. Now, just last night, one of my son's friends dropped over. She's a lovely girl in her 20s, and she told me a story about her first boyfriend. His dad was a pastor of a church, a charismatic church, and she said to her boyfriend, well, let's go along to church and find out what all that's about. And so she went along to the worship and sang and heard about Jesus, and then over time, spending time with this family, she said, they preach it and they sing about it, but they don't live it out. You know, they practice road rage on the roads or, you know, just don't talk nice about other people. And she just said, it's the little things. It's the little things. They don't practice it. And she couldn't support that church or keep going. And I just wonder about us. There's a warning of the little things, like just in the Philippians reading we just heard, grumbling and complaining. We know God's children do that. The Israelites did that, as even after God helped them to escape from Egypt and they were going through the desert, all they did as God's people who had been delivered was grumble and complain and argue among themselves and do all the wrong things. They're still God's children, but he calls us to account. And so today we're going to search ourselves and see if there is anything in us that we need to repent of. See, repentance is key. None of us are perfect yet. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were not perfect either. They thought they were. Religiously, they lived out the law perfectly. But it was all outwards and show. So I'm just going to open my Bible at Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 23. Jesus had just cleansed the temple and, just said, this is a den of thieves, this is my Father's house. This is where people should be able to come and seek God and find God. And he's just re-entered the temple courts again, and he's sitting there teaching. And the chief priests and elders, who are usually in charge and have authority in the temple, come to him and say, by what authority have you come in and do these things? Who's given you this authority? What authority, and who gave it to you? And Jesus doesn't give them the answer outright. He says, I'll tell you if you answer a question for me first. And he asked them, John the Baptist, was his baptism from God? Was it sent from heaven? Or was it a man-made thing that he made up? They discussed among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, then he'll say, well, why didn't you believe him? Why didn't you repent? And if we say of human origin, we're afraid all the people who support us and we have favour of, and we want that power and control over, if we say of people, then the people won't be happy. They will hold that against us because the people saw John the Baptist as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, oh, we don't know. Damned if we do, damned if we don't, we'll just say we don't know. Try and escape it. And Jesus said, well, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now we have the full of scripture and we have the Holy Spirit, so we know Jesus has authority. We know at the end of the Gospels, Jesus declares, all authority on heaven and earth have been given to me, therefore go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We know he was sent to earth with God's authority, sent by God to spread the good news of God's love, that we can be reconciled to him through faith in Jesus Christ. He came with authority to heal the sick and to
heal the lame and do mighty and powerful things. And we see that because we have the big picture. But those religious people were not willing to give up their religiosity and their position of power in their church to actually surrender to Christ's authority or obey the will of God. They liked what they had, their esteem, their ego, the favour of the people, the looking good, the outward signs of religiosity, but they were so far from God. And so Jesus tells this parable in their presence. So what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. Now we hear this in our own context, but I want you to put yourself in Israelite context. He's talking to people of Israel. So people who knew two sons all through their history, we just heard many of them. Jacob and Esau, two brothers, two sons. Think that Cain and Abel, two sons. Joseph and his brothers, there's more brothers, but they get this in this context. And he's basically saying, put yourself in Israel's historical context. Put yourself in this story and see who you identify with. So this man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go to work today in my vineyard." Now again, the vineyard is a symbol of Israel, the people of Israel. Go to work in my vineyard. Get about the Father's work in the vineyard. Get busy. And the oldest one says, "I will not." But he later changed his mind and went and did it. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And that son said, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? Those listening said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." So he's saying to these religious elite people, you need to repent. You need to actually come to God on his terms, not your own legalistic ideas of how it's done, not your religious practices and looking pious. It's not about obeying a bunch of laws. It's about repenting and submitting to Christ's authority, obeying God, coming on his terms, receiving the kingdom of God and eternal life. Living on the other side of that, I'm assuming, I should never assume, I pray that everyone in this room knows God on his terms. And if you haven't, you can easily come to faith through Jesus Christ. Believe that God sent him for your salvation. He died for you on the cross to take away your sin. All those wrong things you've done, that road rage, any misdemeanor you've done, there is salvation available, forgiveness available for everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us and made that possible. And we come to this saving faith in Jesus Christ by saying, "Thank you. Thank you for what you did for me. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to surrender and submit to your authority. I want you to help me obey God." And this is what God says to his church today. As we read in the letter of Paul to the Philippians, he writes to them very fondly. And he says to them, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love and acceptance and grace in your life, if you have any common sharing of the Spirit, if you have any tenderness and compassion for one another,
Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, like those Pharisees. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And we're in it together. And so he says, rather than do things out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, in humility, value others above yourself, looking not just to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used or taken advantage of. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to God's will, even unto death. Now, I don't know how that sits with you today, because we do like our comfortable lifestyles. We do like things to go our way. We like things to be the way we want it to be. Or is that just me? God asks us to get out of our comfort zone. He asks us to identify where our lives don't really sit under his lordship or in obedience to God. And he asks us to reflect. Are you being compassionate enough? Are you being humble? Are you being loving? Are you being kind? And a bit later in that chapter, are you grumbling? Are you arguing like the Israelites always did, like the Pharisees did? He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. We need to live these things out so that we are not hypocrites like the Pharisees. So we are not like that pastor I just told you about at the start. You know, I just saw on Facebook this morning a dear friend of mine. He was on a mission trip I went on once. He was part of the team. And he's married to a beautiful woman and has a small child. And he came out one day on a long Facebook post saying, he was actually pastor of a church. And he said, I can't live this out anymore. This is not who I am. I am gay and I've left my wife and I'm leaving the church. And he's living that lifestyle. So just to see him in a different lifestyle on Facebook this morning was a shock to me. But do you know what? Doesn't matter what anyone thinks about that. I want to call out that I like it that he was authentic enough to say, I'm not going to pretend to be a perfect pastor. I'm not going to pretend that I'm someone else. I'm going to say, this is me, and live out his true identity or who he thinks he is. I want us to do that too. Not come out of you gay, you don't have to do that here, but just be authentic before God and repent of the things that we know don't line up with surrendering to Jesus and submitting to him in obedience to God and what he wants us to do. We need to put away our grumbling and arguing and complaining and live as pure and blameless children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, so that we can shine like stars and people can take our witness seriously. They can say, yeah, you guys go to church and you sing and worship and you live that out there in the vineyard, in the world. We need to be the same people who we are in here as we are out there. Be authentic as our true selves in both spaces, as children of God, living out his will, his ways, across all of our lives. One true, authentic self. So I pray that we can live this out really well, that will be shining lights out in the community, in the world, so that more people will come to Jesus through us, not be turned off by hypocrisy or false witnesses. So let us repent as Jesus calls us to. And just be shining lights for him. Let me pray now. God, thank you so much that you call us your children, that you want to save us and redeem us and call us your own, that you want us to live for you, that you have a plan for us, that you have good plans for us. And we know that it's your work to help us to submit to you and surrender to you and obey you. And we just surrender ourselves afresh to you today, asking you to be Lord of our lives, to live under your authority, to go out in your authority, to be your people in here and in the world. So have your way in us today. Work in us what is pleasing to you and your perfect will. If we grumble and complain, call us to account. Help us to change. If we're not loving or compassionate enough or humble enough, Lord, have your way in us. Teach us to be more like you. Continue that good work in us which you've started. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.